things in life to be afraid of. Of course, some people are afraid of spiders. Other people are afraid of closed spaces. Some people are afraid of being alone in the dark. Others are afraid of dentists and needles. I've always wanted to, when you're asked to put down your details on a camp form or some other sort of form, and they say, are you allergic to anything? I've always wanted to put down death, but I never thought that would be too much appreciated. The truth is that many of us are afraid of things that will never happen, and that fear that we have causes us to be anxious and to worry. So for the last 2 weeks and concluding today, I've been talking to you about money. And the first week we discovered that God's view of money is that it's not to control us, that we are, that our sum total of life is that we are not to get rich. That is not what we're all about, but rather we are to be a blessing with the blessing that we have received. And last week I talked to you about why you should give towards this church and what it means for the church as we are going forward. And I laid before you the way in which we are by being passionate about bringing people to Jesus and transforming all of us into his wonderful, passionate disciples. And I spoke to you about the need for operations manager to augment the great building that we have and to further use that for community use. Today on your way out, as like what we did last week, if you didn't get one of these, I encourage you to pick up one of these. There's still a few left. We've downsized, we're saving money. So we've given you a smaller card this week. A credit card size card for a hint, but it really is, it's got our the ways in which you can give to the Seeds Church. If you grab one of them on the way out, we encourage you, if you're contemplating giving to the church or if you're giving in a certain way, we would really encourage you to give electronically. It's very helpful for the church. Not only does it help with our cash flow, but also saves us having lots of cash on the premises, which is, of course, a risk for us and those that are dealing with it. Today, I want to talk with you about fear in our finances. And like I promoted this widely before this, but during the week, it came clear to me that I'm fearing that I'm going to go too long, and so I need to pull that back a little bit and just sort of give us a broad spectrum understanding of that. And while I want to talk about fear, I also want to talk about worry and anxiety. It seems to me we spend a lot of time worrying and being anxious about the things that we are afraid of. And so I'm just going to come to the nub of what we're talking about. I want to push it a little bit beyond money as well. So if you've got your Bibles, could you open up to Luke chapter 12? And if you haven't got your Bibles, you should bring them along to church. And we should use them in church. You should know your own Bible at least in a little bit. So if you've got a phone or something you want to open it out to, it'll come up on the screen as well. But it's great to have your own scriptures. It's my privilege to read to you this morning from Luke chapter 12 and verse 22 to 34, entitled, Funny Enough, Do Not Worry. Then Jesus says to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? Who by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grasses of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give to you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we bless you for your word. Speak to us through this. Only your words may we hear. May it be only your voice that resonates with us. Amen. So if you remember, the context is, and I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, and I gave you the parable, the rich fool. And Jesus ends in verse 21 with these words. This is how it will be, whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. And then he goes on and starts teaching about worry. Verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry. I don't know what you think about Jesus telling us that. Do not worry. Please turn back the tide, he says. You might as well say, stop the birds flying over your head. Or make sure your kids always do what is right and true and don't tell any lies. That they always behave themselves. I mean, do not worry. I mean, it seems intrinsic to human nature, does it not? I mean, are we not just worriers? Are we not afraid of things? Are we not anxious about a whole pile of things just because we are human? When you think about money, money causes a lot of worry and a lot of anxiety, and it seems to hit epic proportions when we talk about anything financial. I remember living through the 80s. Some of you remember that. And the interest rate hikes. Friends of mine lost their farm because interest rate hit 22%. Can you imagine that in today's context? And then you remember the GFC. Of course, we all remember the GFC. These are high points in our anxiety and worry about money, but it is a constant companion for all of us. It is a bedfellow for all of us. The person who is not worried and worried about money is a fortunate person indeed. The impetus on us is to spend and spend and to spend beyond our limits, and our adrenal glands are running so fast, but they can't keep up with our lifestyle. A report on the ABC this week online states this, and I quote, household debt has risen in Australia since the GFC and now surpasses most other countries. We are the fifth in the world for household debt behind just a few European countries. Home loan debt is high, and it's out of proportion with who we are and what we're about in terms of what's going on in the rest of the world, but as is credit card debt. And so odds on that all of us at some stage or another will have some debt now or in the future. And many amongst us and many in our nation struggle with debt. And so in terms of debt, I just want to speak to it just very briefly and give you some very obvious advice. So let me hit you with three, in fact, four pieces of advice. The first is this. Consolidate. If you've got debt, consolidate your bad debt. And when I talk about bad debt, things that are not going to build wealth for you over time, things like credit cards or student loans or even car loans, bring them all together. Secondly, make a record of everything that you spend over a month. Everything that you spend over a month, and then let that shock you into action to form a budget. A budget for everything. Thirdly, out of that budget, set up a regular savings account so that you don't need to rely on credit. If you have these three things working for you, they'll go a long way to reducing your debt and enabling financial freedom as you go forward. The fourth piece of advice I want to give you is to read this book. It's up on the screen behind me. I don't know if some of you read that book. Gosh, you all need to read this book. It's a great book written from a Christian perspective on financial freedom and how to get out of debt. Get a copy of this book, spend $20 and read it. So let me take you to the text to unpack in the next few minutes that we have and see if we can understand Jesus' commands to us. Remember, Jesus says, do not worry. And we're trying to work out, well, I'm trying to work out on your behalf, what I do every Sunday, is why shouldn't we worry? Why would he say this to his followers? How do we do this and not fail an explicit command of Jesus to us? And so I want to bring to you three sets, Two sets of three. Not three sets of three, that would be a long time. Two sets of three. The first three answer this question, and the second set of three shows us how we practically can live this out. You ready? I'm going to go fast. We are asked not to worry for the simple reason that it's unnecessary before God, because of God. Let's think about God in this context like a father. I mean, I think of myself. I've got four children. And in the past, and you think when they're adults they don't, but they still depend upon you for some life and some existence. Now, I know that I am far from a perfect parent, and often I get it wrong, so I'm told. But the intent of my heart, no, there's honesty there. But the intent of my heart, and I'm sure of all the fathers here and all the parents here, the desire of my heart is to care for my children in the best way that I can. And I know that's the desire of the parents here. But I know there are other parents in other parts of the world that have this same desire who cannot do that for whatever reason. But the best that we can do as a parent is not always good enough for our children, right? You've all had parents, you all know the truth of that. But this doesn't apply to our Heavenly Father. This doesn't apply to God. He has the perfect will. He has the right attitude. He has the absolute best intentions at heart, and he has the means to make it happen. Over and over again in the Bible, we see this to be true. And over in the history of the church, we see this proved. And I'm pretty sure all of us will have a story where God has intervened on our behalf. If you haven't, turn to the person next to you, because I bet you there's someone close to you that has. What am I saying in this? God has the habit of turning up and augmenting circumstances for the betterment of his people, all his people. The second reason not to worry is this, that it's unhelpful towards our faith. If this is who God is, if God is faithful, if he's reliable, if he is the parent to us that we have never had, even if we've had great parents, then what is our response? And the question then comes to us. Let me read, verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give to you the kingdom. I could spend all day unpacking exactly what that means, but take it in the broadest senses of the word. Ephesians 1 comes to mind. The question then comes to us, why do we worry? What is it about our faith that is so underpowered and undeveloped that it causes us to doubt God? It's as if we're okay with the past, as if like we almost like we're going to hold it together for the present, but the future, we've got to do something about it. And it's as if our Protestant work ethic is sort of pushing us into this sort of strange place. Let me tell you the grace. You know, you're not expected to all have it together. You're not expected to know it all and to have it all sorted out and to be able to make it all happen now and in the future. And if it was that way, I'd be the first one out of here. But God does expect you to continue to grow in your faith bit by bit. And so worry, what does worry do? Worry takes away our faith. It replaces faith that's meant to have eyes on God, and it takes our eyes off God and puts them back on ourselves and our circumstances and our situation. And of course, we then worry. And we wonder why we do so when our eyes are off God. There is no way that we can have the resources to live this life by ourselves. And the truth is, if you don't have God in your life, you should worry. But when we put our focus on what God can do and who God is, then we exercise our faith. And especially when we say, God, I trust you in this. And that is the challenge for us. Do we trust God that he's got it? Do we trust God in this? Can we say, God, I trust you with my life, I trust you with my future, and I trust you with my finances? You know, you can worry yourself to death, but I've yet to meet a person who's worried themselves to life. Why worry? Only faith in God brings life. Third point. The third reason not to worry is it is unwise because of your destiny. In a moment, I'll unpack the text a little bit more, but what Jesus is saying, I find myself wanting to remind you of the great and glorious hope that we have of the resurrection of the dead unto eternal life. You know, we don't talk much about this anymore. It sort of seems to have gone out of fashion, but this is the true and certain promise that we have of the future, that God holds all things, this life and indeed the life to come. And the promises that we have around this, a lot of them we find on the lips of Jesus, who says, if it wasn't true, would I have told you? John 14. It is true. Whatever happens in this life, you have a certain and an ironclad promise of the life to come. When you become a believer in Jesus, you gained a new identity and you were given a new future. That's the truth. So Jesus then gives us three concrete examples of these things that we worry about and the things that cause us fear and lots of anxiety. And they're all wrapped up in money and how we resource it. And you can just imagine him, you can imagine Jesus up on a hill pointing out to the day-to-day existent things and saying, look at what's going on there. Let's do some theological reflection on that and let me tell you how God sees this. So the three things are this: food, fashion, and life. Food, fashion, and life. I could have done another F there, but I thought that'd just be too much. I was a bit of a try-hard, so... Verse 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body and what you will wear. So why does Jesus say don't worry about these things when it comes to food? Verse 24 tells us God's mind over it. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? So the inference is that God takes care of birds with food. How much more will he take care of you? And then verse 29, Jesus sort of double whammies this and speaks right into it. Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. So here's the bottom line. The rest of the world worry about their food. Don't they? The whole world actually worries about food. I mean, how many flipping food shows are on TV? I mean, enough already. Like, just eat it. Like, and how many Instagram posts are we going to have about food? Just eat it. Don't tell me what you're eating. Just eat it. Just get on with it. And you know what? That is, in Jesus' words, that's a pagan response. It's a non-believing response because your food, your stomach is becoming Lord. And it's captivating us and it's calling us to a place where we're called away from Jesus. Now, I love food. 6'4", of course I love food. I love lots of food. But it shouldn't captivate our life. There is so much more than our tummy. And when you're if you're thinking about it, then you're being distracted away from the things that really matter with an over-fascination. My friends, let me ask you, are you being distracted by worry or by anxiety or by fear from the things that really matter? The second worry that Jesus hits up is fashion. And in fact, Jesus has a bit of a swipe at all those who thought then and think now they got it all worked out. Verse 27, consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grasses of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, how much more would he clothe you, you of little faith? Jesus is saying here, and it's pretty obvious, that even Solomon was not decked out as well as some of the run-of-the-mill birds, some of the grasses that were growing in the field at that time. How true is that of us as well? We think we've all together, we've got it all sorted. We think we're walking down the street with the latest fashion, turning up to all these sorts of things, and yet we've got no idea. In fact, we're just kidding ourselves. You don't believe me? You ever seen a photo of yourself 10 years ago? Ever seen one 30 years ago and you haven't laughed? If you haven't, show them to your kids. Then you'll get a laugh. In verse 33, Jesus tells us what we should really be adorning ourselves with. Verse 33, sell your possessions, give to the poor. Provide for yourselves that which will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. In other words, this stuff is going to go. The bugs will eat it. It will wear out. It will go. It'll be all done and dusted. It'll be all gone. So act like it in your faith. Act like that's temporal and find stuff that is eternal. That's what he's saying. You don't need all that stuff that causes you worry. You don't need to have fear of the future. Get rid of the fascination with it and get after the one thing that matters. An investment in the kingdom has an eternal paycheck and it won't wear out. Got to have heaven as part of our view. Eternal things do matter. And life is very temporal. The third thing that Jesus addresses is life, and his answer to us extends way beyond money and into the whole of life. Verse 25, who by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? I love it how Jesus thinks that adding an hour to your life is a very little thing. That's another story for another day. He's simply saying, why are you worrying about the things that don't matter, the things that might happen? How much control do you have of your environment around you, he's asking us. For instance, you can't even change just an instant of your longevity. So what hope have you got to change much else? But, and it's a really big but, you know someone who can. So lean into him. Trust him. Exercise faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Verse 31, it's a verse well worth remembering by memory and bringing out. And bringing out when all those worry birds fly around your head. Do you have them? The worry birds just flying around. The what ifs start coming and you start, oh, what if that's going to happen? This is a verse to bring out. Verse 30, for the pagan world runs after all such things and your Father knows that you need them. Verse 31, but seek his kingdom and these things will be given to you as well. That's a promise of Jesus for us. It says the same thing, Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Learn that verse and know it and hold on to it. So here's the bottom line to our worry. There are things in our life that we will not ever have the ability to control. We will never be able to change, nor have ever have any at all one little mediocre influence over. Some things just are. But here is the truth, and here is the great news of the gospel. If we pursue the ways of God in our own lives, if we seek as humbly as we can to follow Jesus, if we put his agenda first and his ways primary, then God will take care of the rest. Now, some of you, I'm sure, are thinking, and as I do, what about all those who we know who have not been looked after? What about all those who haven't been taken care of? What about those who can't feed their families? What about those who are struggling? You know, I know some of you are just a few stories here amongst us that some are facing catastrophic issues, really big health issues. I know some people who have lost loved ones. Some people are facing medical stuff that's just terrible. Some people have gone through terrible trials. Why does this happen? I haven't got any wisdom on that. I don't rightly know, but I do know this, that God in his great wisdom has all of it in his hands. And his ways are far beyond our ways, and his is a complete knowledge. And it goes, while ours goes in just a short little limitation, his is from the beginning, from the Alpha, from the beginning to the end, to the Omega, right through the whole lot. And I know that the shadow proves the sunshine. I know that. But I know that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God, we thank you for your words to us. And sometimes they're really difficult to take and really difficult to understand, and we hear that command not to worry, and there is confusion in us, Lord, as we as we struggle with that. It seems such a part of our nature, but we know that you've given us a new nature and a new hope and a new future. And so we take Jesus' words at face value and we say, we believe it. We'll throw our lot in with you and we'll turn our back on worry and anxiety and fear. And we'll walk boldly into the new future, not knowing what it is, but knowing that you've gone before us and that you prepare the way. Give us the courage, Lord, to do that, to be a people filled with faith and to know your call and your voice in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.